Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. That's 800-693-8290.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, good afternoon, and maybe even good evening, people. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. That means Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf coming straight at you here on a weekend where, wow, we have tons of things to talk about. The Olympics are coming to an end. Obviously, baseball is heating up majorly. We got football training camps going on. We got a lot to talk about, Mike Wilson. How you doing this morning, brother?
I am doing okay. My voice is a little hoarse, not sure from what, but hey, let's not forget about those Hall of Famers, man. Those Hall of Famers put on a show last night, especially not even the Hall of Famers, but the Pittsburgh Steelers fans that showed up for all those Steelers going in. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That thing was like, I don't know, I feel like it started at noon and it was over at about 9 o'clock at night. I'm just kidding around, but those ceremonies do seem like they take a very, very long time. What was it like? Was that like a four-hour event? Am I right?
Yeah, right around 4 hours. You got it about right.
All right, man. Well, you know me. I have a pretty short attention span. So 4 hours, that's a long time for me, man. Anyways, just getting loosened up here. A lot to dive into on the other side. We will hook up with our professor of sports, John Poulter. He comes to us all the way from Toronto, Canada. So keep it close, everybody. Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition.
Can you name the three habits of healthy hygiene? We shower, we brush our teeth, and we... Wait a minute. What third habit? Think about it. The pandemic's reminded us that the nose is your body's filter against a constant invasion of airborne germs. Your nose traps allergens, bacteria, and viruses, but like any filter, the more it's clogged up, the less it works. Now it's easy to clean your nose with Navage. My name's Martin Hoke, and I did not invent nasal irrigation. It's been around thousands of years. But I did invent Navage to make nasal irrigation easy for everyone. Navage uses powered suction to flush out germs that cause congestion, or worse, can make you very sick. People love Navage. It has 4.7 stars with over 70,000 online reviews. And over 2 million people use Navage to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier. Go to Navage.com or find Navage at Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, Bed Bath, and select Walmarts. Make cleaning your nose your third habit. Navage. Clean nose. Healthy life.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angi, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angi.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angi.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Right, we've got lucky caller number 4, Marcus, on the line. If he answers this question, he wins a new car.
Let's do this.
Okay, for a new car, name the only actor to appear in...
And now a message from our sponsor.
With 24/7 support and quick and easy claims, Progressive protects what matters most. Progressive.
Films all in the same year.
Wait, sorry, I didn't hear the question.
3 seconds, Marcus.
Yeah, no, but there was an ad in the middle...
You didn't answer.
But I didn't hear anything.
Marcus, you dropped it in the dirt.
Progressive. There's never a bad time for great protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, that's 800-306-1760.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports, here on your favorite app. Now, here's Andy.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition, always live for your listening pleasure, by the way, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sunday mornings. Then we come back in the wee hours of the night, 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and take you into the wee hours of the evening, man. It's a fun time. Join us sometime. Anyways, we are now going to be joined by our professor of sports, John Poulter, who comes to us all the way from Toronto, Canada. Good morning, John. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Andy. Doing very well, thanks. How about you?
No complaints. You know, heartbreak happens every now and then, as we know in sports. And wow, what a crazy baseball game I was watching between the Brewers and San Francisco. They're down 5-2, and then before you know it, in the top of, or bottom of the 10th, they come out, somehow figure out how to score 3 runs, but wind up going down anyway. What a weird week. I don't know if it was this week or the last week, but the Diamondbacks blew a 4-run lead in the top of the 9th inning. It's kind of bizarre, John, to see teams giving up 2-, 3-, 4-run leads that late in a ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And that Diamondback game you mentioned was also against San Francisco, and it was Thursday, and I was watching quite a bit of that game. You know, okay, we're talking about the Diamondbacks, not the best team in Major League Baseball. They're losing for a reason, but any team that's up 4-1 in the 9th inning in their own park, you would expect them to at least win the game 4-3, if nothing else. But San Francisco appears to be resilient. Then on Friday, of course, they went into Milwaukee. That was a great game on Friday night. I watched that game, and that's a game that could have gone either way. And you know, Milwaukee was the team that pushed the extra run across the plate in extra innings. Then you talk about the game on Saturday night, and I only saw the last half of that game plus the extra innings, but there was a week's worth of excitement in those two extra innings. To go into the 10th inning tied at 2, and then one team get 3 in the top of the inning, and you think, they're probably going to be okay, and then all of a sudden it's tied up again, and then San Francisco gets 4 in the 11th, and you kind of wonder, that pitching staff looks like it's running on fumes at the moment. Garcia looked like he was just lobbing the ball over. I expected Milwaukee to come back and get some runs in the bottom of the 11th, but it didn't work out that way.
I agree. Go ahead, Mike. Jump in.
Now, John, what I was going to say or ask you is, you know, look, everybody's been surprised, but the Boston Red Sox have done this year so far. But they're 2-8 their last 10. It seems like the wheels have kind of come off a little bit. They're 3 games behind Tampa Bay. You know, they've struggled against your Blue Jays for sure. What seems to be the problem in Boston?
Well, that's a great question, and you talk about the series with the Blue Jays, and Boston was slumping a little bit when they came into Toronto. The Friday night game, Boston were up 2-0 and going into the bottom of the fifth inning. Eovaldi looked like he was cruising. Then all of a sudden, with two out, the Blue Jays scored, I believe they scored 9 runs in the inning, and I believe 7 of them were with two out and two strikes on the third out. So for some reason or other, the Blue Jays picked up what Eovaldi was throwing, and they were hitting him hard, and they were hitting him hard on the first pitch. So I kind of got the impression that maybe he was tipping his pitches in some way, shape, or form. I haven't heard anything about that, but just looking at it from my living room, watching on the TV, I kind of got the impression that they knew what was coming. So that was nine runs in one inning, sort of did that game around. Then Saturday afternoon, they played a doubleheader, 2 7-inning games, of course. First game was tight, 0-0, going to the bottom of the seventh, and Marcus Semien hit a home run to lead off the bottom of the seventh, so the Jays won that game 1-0. Then in the nightcap, it was 1-1, going to the extra inning, and in the eighth, the Red Sox pushed a run across, and the Blue Jays couldn't. So I guess in fairness to the Red Sox, either of the Saturday games could have gone either way, but you look at that game on Friday night, and I have to wonder just what was going wrong with Boston. They just did not look good at all. As I say, cruising halfway through the game, and then the next thing you know, they're down 9-2. I mean, Alek Manoah was pitching for the Blue Jays. The Red Sox worked him quite hard for those 5 innings. It was quite clear he wasn't going to come out for the bottom of the fifth inning, so you figured, oh, you know, he's going to be lucky to leave this game with a no decision. What happens? His team gets 9 runs that inning. He walks away with a 9-2, or I guess it was 9-4, the final score. But, you know, you come out of a game trailing by 2, having been frustrated, and all of a sudden you're the winning pitcher. So it has been a funny week for the Red Sox. There's no question about that.
That's the voice of John Poulter, a professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball at the moment. You know, looking at that division as a whole, John, it's been obviously an interesting year where we don't see the Yankees on top for, like, most of it, but at the end of the day, this is starting to become a pretty intriguing race. I mean, the Rays have that 3-game lead over Boston. Now it's shrunk to 5.5 over the Yankees. They've been, you know, somewhere in that mid 7, 8, 9, 6 area for a long, long time, making their move a little. They've won 5 straight. They made all those moves at the deadline. Quite frankly, this kind of makes a little bit of sense, John.
Yeah, it does, and I think we kind of expected that when we talked about the trades that they had made when we chatted last week with picking up the two left-handed hitters with that short right field porch in Yankee Stadium. And you're mentioning the Yankees winning 5 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. During the same period, Boston is 2-8, so you do the math very quickly, and there's a 6-game swing over the course of the last 10 days. That is a very intriguing division because, you know, Toronto's in fourth place, a game and a half behind the Yankees, but only 1 game behind the Yankees in terms of the loss column. The Jays have a couple of games in hand. So other than Baltimore, any two of those 4 teams in that division could potentially make the postseason. So, yeah, it's nice not to see the Yankees in first place. I mean, I'm probably like anybody else that is a favorite of the American League East. You know, there's two teams you don't like, the one your team is playing and the New York Yankees, and it's kind of nice to see the Yankees being in the middle of the pack rather than at the top. But, you know, when the Yankees get some of their pitchers back, it would never surprise me if they took a run at it.
I agree. Hey, I want to jump to that other team you're talking about for a moment, and that is the San Francisco Giants, who are honestly just shredding Major League Baseball right now. It's beyond impressive what they've done. They've won the most games in all of Major League Baseball, and they have a 4-game lead over the Dodgers. Like, this is just a very impressive run from the San Francisco Giants, John.
It is, and when you sit back and think about it, you know, they've done a lot of this without Brandon Belt. He's just back from an injury. They did some of it without Buster Posey, who was out for about a week or 10 days with a thumb injury. They are still playing without Evan Longoria, although they've come up with a pretty adequate replacement in Chris Bryant from the Cubs last week at the trade deadline. But, you know, we think about San Francisco as being a surprise, and frankly they are. I mean, if we'd have had this conversation in spring training and somebody would have said in the second week of August the Giants would have the best record in baseball, you know, they'd all be checking us to see what we'd put on our cornflakes in the morning. But when you look at the stats, it's very interesting because the Giants right now are posting the oldest average age for a major league team in their starting lineup. And that's probably something we don't think about because we think of the Giants as being rebuilding because they've been not at the bottom, but certainly not in contention the last 2 or 3 years. But you look at the names on that roster and you look at the number of years that a lot of those guys have been around, it's pretty easy to say that they're bringing some experience to the ballpark every day. And we all know what experience does. If you haven't been in the pennant race before, I think you're at a disadvantage, and a lot of these guys have been in pennant races before. There's still a couple of guys left from their World Series years, and I'm thinking guys like Crawford and Posey and Belt. This is still a good team, and while we did not expect them to be where they are, it's a pleasant surprise. It's nice to see that there's some competition in that division for the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have won 8 or 9 straight division titles, so it's nice to see somebody giving the Dodgers a run. I think we all thought that would be the San Diego Padres, but it's turned out to be the Giants, and they're enjoyable to watch. I've watched 3 of their last 4 games, and it is an entertaining team to watch. There's no question about it. Bullpen's a little weak at the back end right now because it's overused, but that's not an uncommon problem in baseball right now.
You know, John, you look at that National League East with the Phillies and the Mets, and, you know, you got two teams going in opposite directions. Mets are down in the division by 1.5 games, and they're 2-8 in their last 10, and Philly is 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 7 in a row. What's going on with either one of these teams, you know, coming down the stretch here?
Well, I think looking at the Phillies first, they were sort of jockeying with .500 most of the year. They were 2 games up, 2 games down, 1 game up, 1 game down, right at .500. So I guess when you look at the talent on that team, you kind of expected that at some point in time they'd make a run for it. We all know that a big part of the Mets' success to date was their pitching and their defense, certainly not their number of runs. I think they still scored the least runs in Major League Baseball. But, of course, losing DeGrom was the big issue with them. I was just thinking at the start of the week before Philadelphia went into first place, looking at the fact that the Phillies and the Mets were playing this weekend, I sat, I think it was Monday night or Tuesday night, I was looking at the schedule and looking at the standings, and the thought went through my mind that, you know, just how far are the Mets going to be out of this if and when DeGrom comes back? And I guess we now know that they're sort of in a little bit of a free fall. I think they're 2 games over 500, 1.5 games up, and, you know, they've had that terrible streak as well. They're 2-8 in their last 10, and as you mentioned, the Phillies are 8-2. So, once again, we've got a turnaround of 6 games in just over 1.5 weeks. So, I think the Mets' problem is they're still not scoring runs, but you have to also think that when they get Lindor and Baez in the lineup at the same time, that's probably going to change because that's a couple of guys that offensively are catalysts. They'll put up some numbers. It's just a question of can the pitching come through, in my mind. I still think we're in for a good race there.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back, and we'll keep chopping up what's going on in Major League Baseball with you, John. And I also know that you mentioned Bobby Bowden this morning to both Mike and I, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about some other things, maybe some Olympic baseball, and just kind of get your feel on a couple of different things. So keep it close, everybody. It's the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. Hanging with John Poulter, Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf. We'll be right back. Keep it close.
This is Dorf on Sports.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906. 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Outward left field. That is well hit. Benintendi going back. It is gone! Above the monster, a two-run opposite field home run for Harper. And the Phillies take a 3-2 lead here in the top of the fifth inning.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports here on your favorite app. Now, here's Andy.
He certainly knows how to shake things up.
Definitely know how to shake things up. Welcome back in, everybody. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. That means Mike Wilson hanging out with me, Andy Dorf. And yes, we're talking to our professor of sports, John Poulter, who comes to us all the way from Toronto, Canada. And I want to keep the theme going here, and I want to talk baseball, but I want to ask you your thoughts about what you saw from the Olympics in baseball and pretty much everything else, John. You know, Mike and I have talked a little bit about it, but probably not enough, to be honest with you. I mean, it's an event that happens once every 4 years. These people put their hearts and souls and blood, sweat, and tears into getting the opportunity to showcase their talents, and then you know, they missed the opportunity, but the opportunity came back to them a year later. And you know what? We're getting through it. So that's the good news. But just out of curiosity, we've never really talked Olympics with you. Do you get into the Olympics a little bit, John? Yes or no?
No, not anymore. excuse me. I certainly did when I was a kid because there weren't a lot of sports on TV and it was a big world event. There was no such thing as world tours. Four teams, the World Cup of Soccer and the Olympics every 4 years were big events, but I must admit since the professionals started going to these Olympic tournaments, specifically in things like tennis and basketball and to some extent baseball. I've sort of lost interest because I don't feel I can identify with the athletes anymore. They're not regular guys that, you know, they're plumbers, they're newspaper reporters, they're engineers, they're miners. And, you know, in the old days, you could identify with a guy. Now I watch the tennis tournament, and it's really not much different than watching the U.S. Open or watching Wimbledon. We've got the same big names there on the same tour. So I don't have the interest that I did have, but I saw some of the gold medal game between the U.S. and Japan, and it was kind of interesting to see the difference in the way the two countries approach the game. The Japanese, there's two major leagues over there. There's the Central League and the Pacific League. They shut down those two leagues so that their best players would be available for the Olympics to go on an all-star format. Whereas with the U.S., of course, the best players can't be there because the major league schedules don't stop for the Olympics. So you look at the two rosters, and while we're not familiar with the names on the Japanese team, we do know that they're their best players. We do know that they're coming from their two best major leagues. What we had from the American team was a bunch of guys that were has-beens, never-will-bes, and potential prospects. You know, we have guys like Scott Kazmir, who I think started back in the early 2000s. I mean, he's obviously not a major leaguer anymore. Some guys that were career minor leaguers, there weren't really that many names that we knew. I just thought it was interesting to see the way that the two teams approached it so differently. And at the end of the day, I think the Japanese skill won out, and I think the right team won. But again, just the way that the two countries approached the tournament, I think, is quite different.
Interesting.
You know, John,
go ahead.
I think that's interesting as well. And you would think if the Japanese were going to, you know, they stopped their schedule, that the U.S., you know, put our best players there, maybe would stop the schedule, but I know that's easier said than done. John, is there a sport that is an Olympic sport now where you just look at it and go, really? That's an Olympic sport? Are you kidding me?
There's probably a bunch, and they're probably too numerous to mention, because if I see them on the schedule, I just don't click the TV on to watch it. I think there are some Olympic sports now that just quite frankly aren't Olympic sports, although I must tell you that if I ever see that Tiddlywinks has been approved as an official Olympic sport, I might consider coming out of retirement and joining that group.
Hey, you know, you hit on something that I kind of found interesting in what you were saying about the best of the best being at the Olympics. And, you know, I kind of understand where you're going with it, but then the other side of me says, well, haven't the rest of the world been putting the best of their players at this event for years and years? And basically what happened was is we were letting our almost like the little sisters of the poor go out and compete in these, and they were doing okay for a while, but then the rest of the world caught up to us, and they were putting their best players out there, and we weren't really putting our best players out there. Now we are putting our best players out there, and so therefore it's taking away from maybe someone who we don't know, but quite frankly, we don't know any of the other the foreigners that are at all these games, and those are the best of the best. Those are their professionals, John, right or wrong?
Oh, exactly, and this is the argument we had in Canada about the Olympic hockey for so many years when the NHL players weren't allowed to go. We were sending guys that were working for a living and playing hockey part-time, and the Russians were sending guys that were supposedly in the Russian army, but we all know that they were in the Russian army to play hockey. The Czechs, to some extent, were doing the same thing. Those were the powers, and in those days, the better Swedes were still playing in Sweden. Swedes weren't in the NHL, so Sweden was able to send a very good team because they were all playing at home domestically. So Canadians felt shortchanged in the hockey world much the same way, and you're right, it has evened out the playing field. But by evening out the playing field, I kind of wonder why we need the Olympics, because if I want to see the best tennis players in the world, I don't have to turn on the Olympic television. I can watch Wimbledon, I can watch the Australian Open, I can watch the French Open, I can watch the U.S. Open. I can see all the same players. So really, to me, the only difference is instead of going after a big purse, they're going after a gold medal. That, to me, is the only difference. Same thing with the Winter Olympics, with the curling and the hockey. It's not a money issue, it's a sponsorship issue, and it's a medal issue. So, yes, it's evened out the playing field, but I'm not really sure if that's done anything other than even out the playing field. I don't think it's really improved the performance all that much.
So to me, that's why it is special that these professional athletes who are making millions and millions of dollars, they don't need this recognition at all, but yet they want to go and they want to represent their country. So to me, that's the ultimate when you talk about all this stuff. Like, for example, I can just bring it home to myself here. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday just won the NBA championship with the Milwaukee Bucks. Do they need to go to the Olympics and try to win a gold medal? No. Do they want to because they've got pride and they want to go and represent the USA and then be a champion not only in the NBA, but a champion as far as Olympic-wise? So to me, I think that certain things, it is a little bit more special, and it does make a lot of sense to me why guys want to do this, John. It really does.
Yeah, I can see it from a Patriot standpoint. I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint. To me, watching the Olympic hockey tournament or the Olympic basketball tournament is really no different than watching the Stanley Cup final or the NBA final. Yes, there's patriotism there, but other than that, it's pretty much the same quality of hockey and basketball.
Hey, real quickly, we didn't really get a chance to touch much on this, but you did mention Bobby Bowden. Do you have any thoughts, memories, or things that you want to say about him?
Not particularly. As you know, I'm not a college football guy. I do know the name, of course, because he's a legend in coaching. And when I mentioned it to you, because of the time difference, I wondered if you guys might not have had an opportunity to see it and might want to talk about it between yourselves. But clearly, a well-respected coach, had a couple of sons that were also big-time college coaches. He'll certainly go into the record books as a legend.
Hey, we got to run. We're up against it. Appreciate you, John. We'll catch up next week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, guys. Stay well, and we'll talk next week.
Keep it close, everybody. It's the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf. We'll be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Have you written a book? You can become a published author with Dorrance Publishing, the nation's oldest publishing services company. Countless authors have trusted Dorrance for nearly 100 years to bring their book to the market. Our professional team will edit your text, design your book pages, and create an appealing, eye-catching custom cover. Plus, our authors benefit from a custom book promotion marketing campaign that makes your book available where people buy books, like Amazon and brick-and-mortar bookstores. So make this free call right now to claim your free author's guide to publishing. Don't wait another day. Take one step closer to realizing your dream of becoming a published author and seeing your name in print. You've already written a book, so the next thing to do is make this free call right now to Dorrance Publishing and get your free guide to publishing. Call right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
And the Browns are going to come out. And here they come. Dontrell Hilliard checks into the game at running back. Two receivers right, Beckham and Landry. Two off wide to the left. First and goal at the four. They give it to Hilliard off the right side. He gets the goal line with a push and a shove. He's in. Touchdown, Dontrell Hilliard.
This is Dorf on Sports.
You know, this isn't fantasy football.
No, no, no. Definitely not fantasy football. Welcome back in, everybody. He's Mike Wilson. I'm Andy Dorf. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. By the way, you can get at us a couple of different ways. 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter. For Mike, Pigskin Opinion. For me, it's Dorf on Sports. Check us out on Facebook. It's Dorf on Sports there. Check us out on IG. It's the real Dorf on Sports there. And Mike, you know, I want to talk a little Bobby Bowden. Hall of Fame college football coach who passes away at 91, 377 career wins, second most in college football history, two national titles at FSU, 93, 99, had some great players that he coached on that field and, you know, helped become men, got them obviously on their way to their professional careers. And the guy that I think about most for some weird reason, is Warrick Dunn. I don't know. I just remember him being such a huge part of Florida State football. And I remember the relationship that he and Bobby Bowden had. And it just, that's the guy that sticks out to me, Mike, about this. But in general, Bobby Bowden, what a man, what a career, what a life. At the end of the day, this is more of a celebration than a sadness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is a celebration of a great college football coach. Like you said, second all time in wins. But the bigger thing and what you leave behind in terms of your legacy is what you were as a person, what you were as a father, husband, you know, uncle, all that kind of stuff. And to hear these players talk about Bowden and not talk about football. They talk about how Bowden treated them, you know, like he was he was treating his own sons. And
yeah.
I think I saw something about Andre Wadsworth, you know, he was a All-American at FSU in the late 90s. And he simply said, and I think this sums it up for almost all his players, he goes, he was going to treat us all like his sons, and that's what he did. He cared about us more than he cared about football. That tells me everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a hell of a man, hell of a guy, unbelievable coach. I just remember watching how he just ran up and down that sideline, and I just
right.
I loved his emotions. I loved the way that he treated young men. Like, it was a thing to watch. It was a thing of beauty. And, you know, there aren't many guys like him left. So, these are sad times, to be honest with you, man. When these guys that you and I were watching as kids and growing up and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I mean, you know, you're 50. I'm close to 50. And these guys are now not only legends, but they're on their way out. And it's
right.
It's just reality, bro. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And, you know, he was one of the first coaches for me and probably you, Andy, I would imagine. He was personable. Like you would see an interview with him and it was almost like appointment television because he was so good at it. He was just one of those good old boys from the South using dag gum and dang it and, you know, big Southern accent and, you just got a lot of authenticity, I think, with Bowden, when he was talking to the press or you saw something talking to his players. And, you know, on top of that, you know, football wasn't even the most important thing to him. It's faith in God. You know, he was a deeply religious guy. And, you know, towards the end, he's like, look, I'm at peace with what's going to happen. I've lived a blessed life. You know, so, you know, even in the end, you know, Bowden knew what was going to happen, and he faced it like he faced anything else head on. And, you know, much respect to him, but, you know, you throw your thoughts and your prayers out to, you know, Bowden's family, extended family, because, you know, you never like to see anybody pass away and have to pass away in probably not the greatest way with pancreatic cancer. That's not a fun cancer to have. So, you know, you just think back about, you know, Primetime, Dion, and Warwick Dunn, and just the tons of football players that he turned out for all of us to enjoy at the college level and certainly at the pro level.
Yeah, just some amazing talents and some amazing egos that this guy was able to manage everything and, you know, won a couple of national championships along the way too. So, yeah, like you said, I second that with the thoughts and the prayers, obviously to Bobby Bowden family and everybody that he touched in one way, shape, or form. So, it's a sad day, but a happy day at the same time. Let's talk Lionel Messier now for a moment here. Obviously the problems with Barcelona, we know about that. They've been going on for a long time. Now he decides to join PSG, which is the Paris Saint-Germain team, I believe, on a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, something along those lines. But at the end of the day, this saga has been going on for a long, long time with this guy, and now finally we have some closure, would you say?
Yeah, I think we got some closure. I mean, you know, I love watching Messi play. I mean, I grew up playing soccer for such a long time, and you know, we always gravitated toward those European stars because we really didn't have anything in this country to kind of, you know, players root for. And, you know, Messi, you know, he was short in stature, but extremely large in the legacy that he's leaving in the way he played, not only for Barcelona, but for his, you know, his home country in Argentina in World Cup play and all those kind of things. He's going to be missed by Barcelona. And you know, you look at the number of players that are in our professional leagues and in our country that don't finish with the team that they kind of started off with. You know, for Messi, he falls into that category with moving on to PSG, you know. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But, yeah, it is, if you're a Barcelona fan, this is a sad, you know, kind of depressing time. But Messi's still going to put on a show. It doesn't matter where he's at.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, you know, the dude's got so much talent, and it's one of those things where they really want to try to work things out, but internally and just in this guy's head, man, I think he had checked out. I'll just be honest. He had checked right out, and there was no moving forward with Barcelona one way or another. He was going to work his way out of there. And we see that happen with all kinds of athletes, right? So why should soccer be any different than football or baseball or basketball, where we see people crying and whining about this, that, and the other? Look, this guy's a stud soccer player. So if he ain't happy, I guess he's going to be let it known.
Yeah, no, he's going to be let it known. And trust me, we both know this, Dorf. Someone's going to pay him. If he's not happy and he gets, you know, he's leaving Barcelona, PSG's already with open wallets and, you know, ready to bring him on and bring a talent on like him. And, you know, from a bottom line standpoint for PSG, he's going to put butts in the seats. That's for sure. And so the return on investment for PSG is probably going to be pretty good.
Speaking of ROI, return on investment, I love the way you're helping me out with things right now, brother. Josh Allen, he just got paid.
Yeah.
And $150 million guaranteed, like $260 total, wrapping this guy up for another 6 years or something along those lines. Well-deserved, I'll be honest with you, well-deserved. At the end of the day, you want to win a Super Bowl ring, so hopefully Josh Allen can lead Buffalo to that. I remember the run in the 90s, man. They were so good, but yet so bad all at the same time. They had just crazy things happen to them in the Super Bowl. Hopefully that doesn't continue for Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Bill fans, but Josh Allen got paid, bro, and I think it's rightfully deserved.
Oh, absolutely. It's rightly deserved. He's their, you know, quarterback of the future. He's the quarterback now. He's, you know, and what he has shown us. And let's just say he's probably surprised a good number of people, because when he was coming out of Wyoming, let's be honest, people were questioning, okay, he played at Wyoming. what's that competition like at Wyoming? Not the greatest. Can he handle, you know, the pressure of the NFL, the schemes of the NFL and all that kind of stuff? You know, kind of the same things they're asking of Zach Wilson right now. Can he handle the pressure of being in New York and playing at BYU? But I digress. I go back to Josh Allen. He has shown us everything that we thought he could do, and I think a little bit more. He has the Buffalo Bills as one of the AFC favorites, certainly the division favorite to win the AFC East. I mean, I just love watching him throw a deep ball. He throws such a nice deep ball, and he throws it like a little flick of the wrist. Probably like you know, hit a forehand down the line. It's kind of like that, Dorf, I would imagine, watching. But, you know, it is richly deserved. And the people go, well, he got overpaid. Okay, so what? This is the going rate. Your worth is what people are willing to pay. And Buffalo is willing to pay about $43, $44 million a year to have a stud quarterback. Kudos to Buffalo for recognizing that.
All right, with that being said then, if our boy Kyler Murray here in Arizona has himself a fantastic year, does he go out asking for $40-plus million after?
Yep, he'll do it. His agent will do it. The people representing him will do it. I don't know if the fans are going to be ready for that. I don't know, you know, look, Josh Allen got his team to the playoffs, kind of, you know, deep run. Kyler has yet to do that. They're in a tough division. But look, the going rate is what the going rate is. And, I wouldn't be surprised if Kyler and his representation, trying to get some Josh Allen money.
Going back to Josh Allen, Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, and now they added, Emmanuel Sanders. I think that's a definitely a good pickup. He's a little older. He's a 34-year-old guy, but, we know how good his hands are. We know how productive he can be. I do think that he's got some weapons to play with here, Mike.
Oh, he definitely has weapons to play with. I would love to see the Buffalo Bills back in the Super Bowl. And I would love to see the Buffalo Bills win the Super Bowl. And now I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, and they're in the same division. Like, I get it. But, you know, that franchise has just been snake-bitten when it gets to winning titles and stuff. And then if they get there and they win it, Bills Mafia is just going to go absolutely bonkers. And that would be kind of fun to watch.
I don't really care about the Buffalo Bills, brother. I want the Green Bay Packers to win it all. And you know what? I'm just going to go on with my theme that I have about the situation in Green Bay. And I do think it's one of those – I think it's one of those situations where, you know, potentially this is something that gets you over the hump. You know, a lot of people look at it as a distraction, right, and maybe a problem. I look at it in a different way, man. This guy came back because he knows – at the end of the day, this is the best opportunity for him to win right now, right here, and it is in Green Bay. And you know what? At the end of the day, cooler heads prevailed, and everybody realizes where their bread is buttered. Green Bay Packers are a hell of a football team, and Aaron Rodgers would have been a fool to leave, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. He knows where his bread is buttered. He's no stupid idiot. He's a Cal guy. He knows what's going on. Cooler heads prevailed, for sure.
Just had to make a little show of it along the way, I guess. I don't know why, but sometimes you got to go kicking and screaming a little bit. We got to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up this hour. That's Mike Wilson. I'm Andy Dorf. It is the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition.
With the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray, quarterback.
Murray gets the call up the middle. Murray to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, 5, touchdown. Weaving to the left.
Allen has completed 5 in a row, looking for number 6. Loads it up deep towards the end zone. Pass is caught for the touchdown. C.J. Johnson has it. And the Cowboys strike again, and Josh Allen is 100% healthy today.
The snap. Josh wants to throw. Rolls right. Cocks his arm, still has it now on the run. Gets that down north.
Touchdown.
He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Josh Allen, a 3-yard runner on the right side. the Bills score their first touchdown of the game with 10:21 left to play in the fourth quarter.
This is Dorf on Sports.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash award. Here's our number. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. 800-918-4086. That's 800-918-4086. Paid for by the IPG Law Group.
At 28, I had struggled with opiate and meth addiction for 12 years. I did and said things that the sober me never would have done. One day I realized I was not invincible. I was not exempt. And that's when a friend told me about Elite Rehab Placement. They gave me the tools I needed to get sober, and all it took was the one phone call.
Elite Rehab can help you start to break your addiction problem and get sober in as little as 7 days. And we'll work with your insurance provider to help cover the costs. Plus, we have travel assistance programs to get you here by plane or train. Make this free call right now to learn more.
800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. 800-403-5912. That's 800-403-5912.
You're listening to Dorf on Sports here on your favorite app. Now, here's Andy.
Welcome back in, everybody, for the final time this hour here on the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition. Mike Wilson, Andy Dorf coming right at you. And, you know, Mike, I haven't asked you. I did ask John, obviously, his thoughts about the Olympics and everything along those lines, about what he liked, what he didn't like. And I'm just kind of interested on your take about our best going and representing the USA. What say you?
I have no problem with it. You know, growing up, and, you know, John brought up the whole Russian, you know, army, you know, players and the quote unquote the army, and, you know, playing in hockey, and the Czechs doing the same thing. And I always wondered the same thing. Like, why are we sending college kids? If you're going to play, if you're going to go best on best, then put best on best. Or if they're going to be strictly amateurs, you keep it strictly amateurs. But for the way that it's set up, I have no problem with going best on best, and that means bringing pros over. That means bringing pros over. So, you know, people have a problem with it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion on it, but that's just how I look at it with the Olympics.
Look, at the end of the day, man, I think it's about going out there and representing your country. And why not have the best go up against the best? It just makes a lot of sense to me. If the amateurs are getting beat by the pros, then you got to change things up a little bit. Speaking of change things up, we got to take a break. Hour number one is in the books. That means hour number two on the horizon. Keep it close, everybody. He's Mike Wilson. I'm Andy Dorf. You're hanging out with us here on the Dorf on Sports Weekend Edition.